life, we need to understand our absolute need for God, and that we can't do it without Him. And that's a good reminder of that truth. Well, we're in Philippians chapter 4. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I have been told that we have some friends with us here, one of whom works for the Mighty Oaks Warrior Ministry. Is that you? Okay, that's wonderful. And it's great to have you all with us today. Actually, one of our men had the privilege of going through your program, and it was such a blessing to his life. And I know I'm probably going to not communicate it as well as you would, but I do appreciate the program. This is something, a program that is for veterans and for those who serve and as first responders as well, and as police officers. It's a place for them to go, and especially if they have gone through some difficult times in the exercise of their service. And I know for our man that was able to go to this program, he came back. He had a lot of struggles before he went, but came back and his life was completely transformed. And I'll just say, if you are a veteran or you are a first responder and you need some help, I would strongly encourage you, and we would love to help you get connected with this organization, because they are doing wonderful, wonderful things for individuals in that particular area. So thank you for being with us today. It's a privilege to have you with us. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be at. And so excited to be able to open the scriptures here. We're coming close to the end of our study. We'll be in verses 8 and 9 today. And I want you to take note of what the first word of the text is. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. What's the first word?
Finally.
Finally. All right, we're getting close to the end. Now this is the second time Paul said finally. Because Paul, like all preachers, struggled with landing the airplane, as they say, okay? And so next time I'm struggling with that, just know I'm trying to be like Paul, okay? But here he is. He's coming down to a close. And as God moved Paul to bring these thoughts in this letter to a conclusion, he gives here a final challenge regarding what we think and consequently what we do as believers. Remember, in the preceding words, what we studied last week, he challenged us as believers to make some choices that will change our perspective. Rejoice in the Lord. Pray. Be respectable. Practice moderation towards other people. These principles we looked at last week, these were perspective-changing choices. And now he comes up and he concludes what he's trying to say, and here he instructs us on how we can daily have this renewed perspective. It's one thing to know that you ought to make the choice to rejoice in the Lord, ought to make the choice to turn to God in prayer instead of going to worry and anxiety. It's another thing to learn how to do that day after day after day after day. And this is what he's trying to communicate to us in these two verses right here. And really, we're going to find that the key in all of this, if you're going to change your perspective and how you live your life, it starts with you changing how you think. So I want to preach to you today about the Christian thought life, because all of us need to understand this. And let's read our text in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, where the Bible tells us, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise," read the next phrase with me, "think on these things." That's key. He says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul's thrust in this passage is challenging the church to think on these things. Perhaps you've heard the statement said before, you are what you eat. For example, if all I do is eat biscuits all day, every day, eventually I'm going to start looking like the Pillsbury Doughboy, all right? And some of you can identify with that. I'm just kidding. But spiritually, oh, I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I know it. Spiritually speaking, we could put it this way. You are what you think. You are what you think. I want you to think about that with me for a little bit. If you dwell on the wrong things throughout your day, you will not sustain the life of joy and peace described in the preceding verses. In other words, just because you say you want to be joyful, if your thoughts are only negative, it's not going to happen in your life. If you let God teach you how to take control of your thoughts, You can learn how to live the abundant life that He desires and intends and has given you the power to be able to live. In Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, puts it this way. It tells us we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God tells us that there needs to be some spiritual intentionality in this matter of you taking control of your thoughts in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So understand this, and this is an important principle. Your actions flow out from your thoughts. Your actions flow from your thoughts. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 puts it this way. It says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, by the way, to keep or guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it come the issues of life. Thoughts of your heart determine what is actually taking place in the actions of your life. This is something the Bible teaches us in many places. And by the way, the Bible has not only recognized this truth, but many respectable individuals throughout the history of this world have also acknowledged this truth. And Sigmund Freud, he said, "The thought is the father of the deed." Jonathan Edwards, he put it this way, the ideas and images in men's minds are the invisible powers that constantly govern them. And these men understood this truth. Person said this, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. And sow a character, you'll reap a destiny. It all starts with a thought. The important principle that we're going to see emphasized in this text. And so simply put, bad thoughts lead to bad actions. Good thoughts lead to good actions. Simple, right? Not as easy to put into practice, because our mind is a battlefield, isn't it? And we're going to see this demonstrated as we study the scriptures today. And so your struggle with doing wrong is really rooted in your struggle with thinking wrong. A lot of people get this backwards. They want to try to change their behavior without changing the thought process that leads them into that habit or that behavior. You will allow God, through His Word and the work of His Spirit, to renew your mind, change the way you think. Natural outflow will be that your actions are also transformed. That's what we see demonstrated in this text of Scripture. And so I ask you, how is your thought life today? Would you be willing to allow the Holy Spirit of God to begin to do a renewing of your mind so that you can think your way to doing what God has called you to do? Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. And as you bow your head, I want you to whisper a prayer to the Lord along with me. And let's ask God to renew our minds today. Let's ask God to reveal any area in our minds that needs to change. And I promise you, if you'll do that, God will speak to your heart. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before you. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to open your word. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just give us a holy hush in this room, an attentiveness to your word. And Lord, we're just going to preach what the Bible says. And as that goes forth, I know it will not return void, but will accomplish that which you are sending it forth to accomplish. And I cannot pretend to know what that is, but I stand in the authority of your word, Lord. And I'm not a good communicator of it, but your word and your spirit is a good communicator. And I pray, God, that as your spirit takes my words, that you would speak directly what needs to be heard into the heart and life of every person in this room. And I pray, God, that the result would be that we would surrender, we would listen to what you're trying to tell us, and allow you to change our hearts, change our minds, and thereby our actions for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. In our text, there is a threefold prescription given for a healthy thought life. And I want you to note these things down with me. First off, if you're taking notes, you can write down the first thing. If you're going to have a healthy thought life, it starts with you thinking right. You must think right. Pretty simple, but let's see what the Bible tells us. Verse 8. Again, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren," by the way, who is this written to? Brethren, believers in Christ. You cannot hope to have a sanctified mind if you have not been set apart by God through faith in Jesus Christ. It starts with salvation. He's writing to believers here. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the primary command in this verse is given at the end of the verse, and that is to think on these things. That word think is the Greek logizomai, and it means to meditate on or to consider. It's the same Greek word from where we get the idea of logic from. And what God is calling you and I to do, the idea here is that we are to focus the attention of our mind on certain things. Now, if I were to say to you this morning, don't think about your phone, what's the first thing you think about? Did I put it on silent? I hope you did. If I tell you not to think about something, that's the first thing you want to think about. All right, if I tell you not to look somewhere, if I tell you not to listen to something, the first thing that your mind goes to is you want to do what you're being told not to do. That's our nature as human beings. We do not respond well to negative commands. And so here in the scripture, God doesn't give us a list of do nots. Instead, he says, don't worry about that. He gives us a positive list. Just think about this. He wants to direct our minds to think on the right things, to consider, to meditate, to focus our attention on things that are right. And so with that, I'll say this. The key to right thinking is continually filling your mind with good things. That's the key to right thinking. As the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He decided he was going to combat sin, not by just trying his hardest to not think and not do the sinful things, but rather to equip himself with the truth of God's word that would give him the victory to overcome those things. And that's the principle here. You don't overcome the wrong kinds of thoughts by just trying to stop thinking about them. Rather, you intentionally fill your mind with the right kind of things. And so that then begs the question, what are the right kind of things? The Bible has told us here, and I want us to look at this list that God has given us here. First off, the Bible says, whatsoever things are true. Here the Bible tells us we're to think about things that are real. Note that down first. Think about things that are real. The word true is translated from the Greek alethes, that literally means real or genuine. And so it's speaking of something that's opposite of false, something that has a love for the truth, a genuine love for what is real, for what is true. And the application for us is clear. As Christians, we should be a people who are continually dwelling on the truth. Continually dwelling on the truth. I love how the psalmist demonstrates this in Psalm 119. Look in your notes. Psalm 119 has several verses here. He says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I'm thinking about your truth all the day. He says in verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, empty, untrue thoughts, but thy law do I love. He says in verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, things that aren't true, but thy law do I love. Obviously, the indication is we ought to love things that are true. We ought to focus our mind on things that are true. Who is the father of lies? Satan. That old serpent, the devil. He's the father of lies, and the only thing that one of the main things that he would love to do in your life is to get you to focus on his lies, on his fake news. All right, on his false truth. That's what he is really striving in this society to get all of our minds focused on, because if he can get us focused on his lies, he can get us off track. He did that with Adam and Eve right from the beginning, and he's been doing it ever since. That's his strategy, and that's his technique. But I'll say this, you can protect yourself from his attacks by dwelling on what is true. Now, let's face it. Turn on a television nowadays, any news station, I don't care which one it is, you're going to hear a whole bunch of things that aren't true. That's not healthy for you. Focus on untruth. Focus on the things that are true. And that's one of the cures to getting the right type of thought life. And so number one, think about things that are true. Number two, think about things that are honorable. things that are honorable. The word used in the King James here is the word honest. Whatsoever things are honest. That comes from the Greek semnos, which speaks of something that is noble, grave, sober, or honorable. It carries the idea of we're supposed to think on things that are worthy of respect. Okay, they are not base, they are honorable. And so as believers, our thoughts should be filled with things that could be classified as being honorable. Our society wants to focus our mind on dishonorable things, put it lightly. They like to jest and kid about things that really should be taken seriously. And you just scroll social media or get onto any modern day sitcom, and they are joking and kidding about things that they ought not be joking and kidding about. And it's a despicable thing. I'll say there's a place for laughter, all right? If you ever wonder if there's a place for laughter in the world, you can know it by the fact that God created blondes, okay? I'm in trouble again there, okay? But there's a place for laughter, and I like to kid around just like the next guy. I love having a good time. So you shouldn't treat everything in life like it's a joke. The main attention of our minds should be on things that are honorable. Like how the hymn writer put it. He said, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. The Lord says in 2 Corinthians that we're to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Things that are noble, things that are honorable, these should be the types of things that fill our mind. And so, first off, we're to think about things that are real. Second, things that are honorable. Number three, we're to think about things that are right. The word used in the text here is the word just, things that are just. Just things are right things. That's what the Greek word means. It means right or fair. And specifically, what this word is indicating to us is we're to think about things that would cause us to do right by others. That's what's indicated here. And it's so easy to get focused on thoughts that simply are not right. And listen to me on this, especially if you've experienced hurt or frustration in a relationship in your life, it's so easy to let your mind drift off to a place of bitterness or desire for revenge. And those thoughts are not right and are not good. And by the way, they are not healthy for you. Thoughts of bitterness and anger do nothing to hurt the person you want them to hurt, but they do everything to hurt you, the battle of your mind. So the Bible says, let's focus on things that are just, that are right. And by the way, even when others do you wrong, you can still choose to do what is right. And I like what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. Pretty simple, right? Thoughts of the righteous are right. And we ought to be thinking justly. All right? So think about things that are honorable, things that are real, things that are right. Number four, think about things that are clean. Things that are clean. The word used in the text is pure. Whatsoever things are pure. That's the Greek hagnos. It means chaste or clean or free from defilement. And speaking here specifically of moral purity, the things that should fill our minds as believers should be things that are pure. Now, you know this as well as I do, that we live in a culture today that it seems to me, although I don't know this is explicitly true, but it seems to me it is more perverted than any other society, at least in recent history. It just seems like impurity is just being pumped into our society from all around. I'll read you some statistics. America, pornography has become so readily available that one out of every five internet searches for porn today. About 70% of men and 20% of women regularly use porn. The majority of you men in here, and it's a minority at least of some of you women in here. That's not something we like to talk about. This is the most alarming to me of all. U.S. children, on average, begin consuming hardcore porn at an age of 11 years old. I'm just going to step out and say this. You're giving your little kid a phone, not thinking it through very well. Well, I got protections on it. Okay. Well, if you got protections on it, you do what you think is right. But I didn't get a phone when I was in college, and it didn't hurt me. Ain't popular preaching either. I'm going to go ahead and say it anyways, all right? But in the midst of this impure society, God calls the believer to fill his mind with pure things. Pure things. And can I just say this? Hey, it is still possible to live purely in an impure world today. You don't have to just jump on the bandwagon and say, well, that's just how it is. Everybody does it. I guess I'll just be a culprit to this society. You can still choose to think purely in an impure world. And God can give you the power to be able to do it today. The psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I then think upon a maid? And here are men in Scripture who decided, I'm going to think purely. I'm going to protect the gate of my eyes and make sure there are no things that are wrong coming into the thoughts of my mind. And that's an important thing. And let me just say this as well. If you're in here today and you're struggling with a pornography addiction or with any type of immoral addiction like that, we can help you. A hard thing to talk about, but boy, we have a wonderful program in our church that can help disciple people who are just stuck on those kinds of things. And it is a pervasive problem in our society today. If that is you, I want you to come talk to me. Call the church, however you want to do it. And I'd love to sit down and talk with you about how we can pair you up with someone who can help you start walking down the road to victory. Because you don't have to be bound by that forever. Right? And so we're to think about things that are clean. Number five, we're to think about things that are pleasant. Things that are pleasant. The word used in the scripture here is the word lovely, prosphiles in the Greek. And it literally means, it speaks of something that's beautiful, something that's delightful, or something that is pleasant. And there are a lot of unpleasant things in our world today, I know. The world, the creation that God has given us, is still a very beautiful place. We don't have to dwell on all the filth, all the brutality, all the nonsense that's going on in our world, because all over the world God has given us beauty we can admire and adore that draw our hearts to Him. Like what the psalmist said in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge, and there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All over this world you can see the demonstration of God's glory. This morning I woke up and I got to watch the sunset as it was coming up over the mountains. You know what? You can't hardly watch a sunset, especially out here in beautiful Colorado, and not be drawn to appreciate your Creator, what He's done for you. And you know what? You don't have to wake up first thing in the morning and get on social media and start scrolling through all those negative thoughts. You don't have to wake up first thing in the morning, open that newspaper, and expose yourself to all the junk and the trash that just fills your minds with things that aren't good. You can make a decision to focus your mind on lovely things, right? And there's nothing wrong with taking a minute to enjoy the beauty of a song or the serenity of a poem or even the beauty of creation. And we could go on and on and on and talk about these things, but the Bible calls us to think on things that are lovely. Well, I'll say this. Even the things that seem unlovely in our life, you understand who God is. You understand that He has made everything beautiful in His time. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 10. When things look bleak and ugly in your life, you can look at the beauty of what you know God is doing even when you can't see it. That are lovely. That's what we're to think about. The next thing the Bible tells us is we're to think about things that are reputable. Reputable. Don't worry, I put that on the screen for you so you could spell it, okay? Things that are of good report, the Bible says. One person defined this as being things that are actually worth thinking about. That's my favorite definition. Things that are of good report. Now, this is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. And so it makes it kind of a hard word to be able to compare with other passages of Scripture. But the basic idea that's being communicated here is that you are to fix your mind on things that are approvable. And mind you, not approvable to you, but approvable to God. Things that are of good report. We are to think about things that are well spoken of. Too often, we allow our thoughts and therefore our words to drift off into conversation that is idle, that isn't good. And so many of us, we spend our time thinking or talking about gossip and about vain and idle things that should not fill our minds and should not fill our conversations. God is calling us to speak and think of things that are of good report. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And God has truly called us to think about things that are well spoken of. Here's the next thing. Think about things that are good. That's a good idea, isn't it? The word used at the end of verse 8 is, if there be any virtue. The word virtue, it speaks of moral goodness. And so our thought should be filled with things that are virtuous, things that are morally good. Naturally, our minds do not think about good things. Sinners, corrupt hearts, deceitful, wicked, that's how Jeremiah describes them. And where our minds naturally go, not to good things, but to things that are not good. And so the indication in the text here is if you're going to think on these things, you're going to have to make an intentional decision. Put out the thoughts that should not be there and decide you're going to dwell on things that are morally right. And it requires an intentional choice. And so we're to think about things that are good. And the final one here that we're to think about is we're to think about things that are commendable. Things that are commendable. The Bible says if there be any virtue and if there be any what, church? Praise. If there be any praise. That word praise, it literally speaks of something that is praiseworthy. And the idea here is that your thoughts are to be filled with things that would bring God praise. I like to think about it this way. Before you do anything, or even before you even allow your mind to continue dwelling on anything, you want to ask yourself this question. Can I do this to the glory of God? If you ask yourself that question, I promise you, it'll change your thoughts and it'll change your actions very, very much. If you're dwelling on gossip, if you're dwelling on something that's sinful, something that is not good, something that is not right, if you ask yourself, can I do this to God's glory? Your spirit will know the answer in your heart and will help turn your mind from things that you ought not dwell on. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. What a wonderful list this is. These are the types of things that God says ought to fill our minds as believers. So what has been filling your mind this week? Get further than that. What's been filling your mind this morning? As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Part of the reason you may have the struggles you're having today is because you're losing the battle in your mind. Fighting the wrong battle. You're trying to change your actions when where you really should be focused is allowing God to give you daily victory continually in the battle of your mind. He thinks in his heart, so is he. The story is told of a woman who lived in Illinois who her neighbors affectionately called Garbage Mary. Very endearing title, I'm sure. She lived in an apartment in Illinois, and all she did all day was she had mounds and mounds of trash in her apartment. She would siphon through it, and she would rumble through it, and that's why she got that name. Every once in a while, she'd come out and bum a cigarette off of her neighbors, but that's why she got the name of Garbage Mary. Well, the police stopped her one day and determined her not to be sane of mind, and so they took her to a psychiatric ward, and when they went in after to clean up her house, inside her house, they discovered dozens of banknotes and other types of wealth inside the home. The woman, a multimillionaire. All she did every day was run through the trash. That made me think of how we often are as believers. God has blessed us with all heavenly riches and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's given us things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are good, things that are beautiful to be able to focus our mind on. And yet how often we live every single day of our life focused on trash. Watching the news and sifting through things like pornography. And no wonder we have so much struggle living for God in our actual actions. I'm challenging you as a church today, get your mind out of the trash. Get it on the right things. That's what God is calling us to do here. And by the way, I don't think this is in your notes because I want you to turn here, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I want you to turn here because I want you to mark this. Because if you really want to learn how to think on the right things, you ought to make this your daily prayer. Include it in your daily prayers to the Lord. Psalm 139. I want you to look at verses 23 and 24. You'll hear a couple pages turning. Give you a moment to get there. I want you to see this in your Bible. Psalm 139, verse 23. Let's read it out loud together. Let's read. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Asking God to search his actions going deeper than that. God, search my heart, my thoughts. You open up your thought life to God every day, I promise you God will start showing you some things that do not belong there. Boy, it will greatly help your life if you open up your heart and mind to the Lord and let Him begin to renew it. Let Him begin to transform it. That's what He desires to do. And so if you're going to develop a healthy thought life, first, you must think right. Second, you must do right. You must do right. The natural outcome of thinking right will be doing right. We already talked about this a little bit, but as you determine to allow God's Spirit to daily cleanse your mind and fill it with these good things, it will impact your actions for good as well. The Bible puts it this way in Galatians chapter 5, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You determine to allow God's Spirit to have control of your mind and your heart on a daily basis, it will impact how you live your life as well. And so right thoughts lead to right actions. And as we surrender our hearts and minds to the control of the Holy Spirit of God on a daily basis, He begins to enable us to do what we can never do in our own power, and that is to live the Christian life. That's so significant for us to understand. And so you can't start with trying to change your actions on the outside and hope that that will change your thoughts. No. It starts with you surrendering your thought life to the Lord and letting God begin to transform your thoughts, and that will impact your actions every single day of your life. Battle starts in the mind, and that's what Paul begins to communicate here. As he continues to challenge these believers, he compels them to not just think the right things, but he compels them to do the right things. Notice what he says here in Philippians chapter number 4. I got to get back over there myself. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 9. "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," what? "Do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now we could just put the Nike slogan there and just say this is what Paul was saying. Just do it. Right? The things that I'm talking about, the things you're supposed to focus your mind on, the things that you've seen me practice, the things that I have taught you, those same things, stop just talking about them. Stop just thinking about them. Put them into practice. And that's the whole idea behind the word do there in verse number 9. It's the Greek word proso, which literally means to continually practice, to exercise, or to be busy about. God wants us to get busy about doing the things that He has already plainly revealed we are supposed to be doing. And I don't have time to develop these as much as I'd like, so let me just summarize here because He tells us what we're supposed to be busy about. First, He says, do what you've been taught. It says in verse 9, "those things which you have both learned." That speaks of learning by practice. And the idea here is this is not speaking of the type of learning that comes from a college education, if you would. This is the type of learning that's kind of an on-the-job type of learning, okay? Paul had stood side by side with these believers and had taught them exactly how they were supposed to live the Christian life. And they had learned by experience. In their experience with Paul, how they were supposed to live out the Christian life. And Paul was telling them those things that you learned when I was with you, put them into practice. The next thing he says, not only do what you've been taught, but he says, do what you've been told. He says, those things that you have learned and received and heard. Those two words, received and heard, that means to take into hand and to regard. That's the whole idea behind these words. And let me just summarize this by saying the reason why Paul could tell them to do what they had received from him and heard from him was because these believers understood that the word that Paul was speaking was not Paul's word, but it was whose word? It was God's word. God was speaking His word through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And you know, you can read self-help books or books from individuals that try to help you change your mindset, and there might be a little bit of profitability in that. But I'll tell you something, the only thing that you can rest your case on and base your life on is the truth of God's word. And beyond that, it doesn't really matter. You need the truth of God's word. And Paul said, the things that you've received and heard through me from God, you need to get busy about doing those things. So do what you've been told from the scripture. Do what you have been taught. And then the third thing he says here is do what you've seen testified. I like this. They hadn't just heard it, received it, learned it from Paul, but they'd also seen it demonstrated in his life. Things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul was not asking them to do anything that they had not already seen him doing by his example. Like how Matthew Henry put this, he said, what they saw in Paul was the same thing they had heard from him. We could put it this way, Paul practiced what he preached. Paul was saying, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ, essentially here. I'm asking you to do the same thing that you have seen me striving to do in my own life. Hey, don't just think, do. And now, we understand, as we get our thought life right, God begins to transform our minds and hearts and gives us the capacity to be able to do what we're supposed to do. So it starts with your thoughts, and then it continues to your actions. Think right, do right. Here's the third part of the prescription. In the midst of all this, you need to trust God. You need to trust God. The end of verse number 9 is a beautiful statement. As you think on these things and you do these things, what does the end of verse 9 say? Let's say it out loud together. And the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that wonderful? The God of peace shall be with you. God is the only one who can bring you peace today. That's it. Now, if you're here and you don't know God, you don't have peace with God because you're estranged from God. In fact, you feel very distant from God. I have good news for you. You're a sinner. You are distant from God. You deserve punishment from God. But Jesus Christ loves you. He died on a cross to pay for all of your sins so that you could be forgiven and bring you back into a relationship with God. Now the Bible says that you can have peace with God, faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. You've never made your peace with God by trusting in Jesus to forgive you of your sin. I hope today that you'll come and let us show you more specifically how you could be saved from your sin and have peace with God. Understand that many of us in this room are believers. We have peace with God. We have trusted in Christ. And though you have peace with God, that does not necessarily mean that you are experiencing today the peace of God in your heart. You may be filled with worry and anxiety and not have any type of measure of peace in your life. You're a believer, that should not be so. We learned last week that one way that you can experience the peace of God is by going to God in prayer. And when you go to God in prayer, the peace of God that passes understanding will be applied to your life. I love the picture because the Bible tells us in verses 6 and 7, you can find the peace of God when you go to God. When you begin to think on the right things and practice the right things, the opposite is true. You don't have to go to God because the God of peace comes to you. See that? The God of peace shall be with you. By choosing to dwell on things that are right and practice the things that the Holy Spirit of God leads you to do in your life, you are daily and continually inviting the perpetual presence of God everywhere you go. A powerful truth. You can walk with peace through this life when you walk with the God of peace. Boy, if you're not at peace today, you need to heed the words that the Scriptures are trying to communicate to us today. You can walk in the Spirit every single day and know the fruit of that Spirit, one of which is peace. Every single moment of your life. So today, God is calling you to focus your mind on good things. And easier said than done, I know. As you daily allow God to fill your mind with these good things, it will change the way you live your life. And as one person put it, you need to let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. That's the key right there. So the Lord tells us, think on these things, do these things, and trust me the whole process. Simple truth. If you're struggling with your thought life today, stop trying to change your actions. Start letting God begin to change your thoughts. And from there, God can take care of everything else. How's your thought life today? Are you dwelling on these things that the Bible's outlined for us? You've allowed your mind to dwell on trash. Today, during this invitation, I want to invite you to come and make a decision, turn your mind back over to the Lord and surrender. We'll bow our heads and close our eyes together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes